In one man's workshop I was shown a miniature fair with swings, roundabouts, etc., all working. It just covered the palm of my hand. I saw some boys playing with boats of all kinds on a pond. They were very fine models, perfectly to scale, with all the small details that model makers try to reproduce. One boat looked strange to me. As I stepped forward to inspect it, I walked into the water, and the thought crossed my mind that I had ruined my trousers. Looking at the boat, I sensed medieval, then stepping back to the bank, I was surprised to find that my boots and turnips were perfectly dry. I meant to examine spirit water more closely but always forgot. I think the feeling of wetness in spirit is an expected thought. The dryness of spirit water has its advantages, as I once saw some young men who, returning from a trip on a river in their sailing dinghies, simply stepped into the water which was waist deep to maneuver their boat to the bank. My spirit helpers, knowing my earth interests and hobbies, often took me to see the same things in spirit. Once, after looking at the autumn crocus in my garden on earth, I was on my next projection taken to a park in spirit and landed near a clump of these flowers. These were fine specimens, about 18 inches to 2 feet high. There were many varieties of plant life. In one section of this park I saw the strange-looking ferns and palms of the pre-ice age, and mounted as a showpiece beside the path was the long neck and head of a Diplodocus, which was made to weave and roar in a realistic manner. A small child was standing by and looking up, quite interested but not in the least alarmed. Fear, which is a low vibration, could not occur in this state. Next headline, Mother's Visit. After the passing of a distant relative, I was taken to the house that had been prepared for her in spirit. In one of the rooms I met my father, and as we were talking he said, "Look," and pointed to the wall. I thought he was referring to the wallpaper, then I noticed the outline of a figure. It grew into the form of my mother. She was looking tense and serious through the concentration necessary to make herself visible to us on this wavelength. When she was fully formed, she smiled and stepped forward and greeted us. She looked very young, between 20 and 25 years of age, although she passed over at the age of 74, and I sensed that she was now in a higher plane, and had to manifest in this way. I was shown over the house and later on saw my mother again in one of the rooms. She was bright and happy and said it was time for her to go. Then, laying down on a couch, she said goodbye, as I sat by her head and watched her disappear. I did not feel at all sad at her going, as her ability to contact me seemed so easy and natural. During a later projection, as I was watching some children playing in a field, my mother came to me again. She had more of an earthly appearance this time, and she told me that the relative mentioned was very worried over her house on earth. I knew that she was very attached to the house she had to leave behind, and later, on earth, when I made inquiries, I learnt that her sons were selling it, as they did not wish to keep it on. Next headline, Spiritualist's House. Once I visited a place in spirit that appeared to be a nice residential suburb, and was directed to one of the houses. As I entered the gate and neared the door, a couple were leaving. They nodded to me as they passed and, although I did not recognize them, I knew at once that this place was a sort of open house to people who were spiritualists when on earth. I looked in one of the rooms and saw a group of people, but they were all strangers except one, and she was the elderly lady who once saw me leave the body during the circle. This lady had a remarkable gift of objective clairvoyance, and could describe a spirit in great detail. She once described a spirit, a man in Arab clothes who was with me, but said that she could see that he was not an Arab, but Lawrence of Arabia, and then passed on a message that, although she did not know it, at once proved to me that it was indeed Lawrence. It was only about a year since this old lady had passed over, and she looked very serene and comfortable. There was no plane of illusion clinging to her mentality, and she said, "Hello, Mr. Sculthorpe," in her usual manner when she saw me. I would have liked a long conversation with her, but a silly earthly habit I have of being reserved when among strangers, prevented me, and I kept silent. This reserve or shyness is quite absent when I am on a higher plane. Minds are then much more in contact, and I do not remember ever being formally introduced to anybody. When meeting anybody, on with a group, we all seem to know each other, and an introduction would be as unnecessary as introducing brothers and sisters to each other. I looked over the house and then went out to see the district. The place seems to be the etheric counterpart of the suburban part of a town in this country, and there was a shopping center nearby. There was an arcade or row of shops in white concrete which looked new, and above these on the big facade was the name Roseway in large red capitals. It would be interesting to know if this shopping center was also the spirit replica of a place on Earth. When I was walking in front of this place, I saw an Eastern man. He had the white high-buttoned tunic and the small black fez type of hat, and when he saw me he looked a bit apprehensive and got out of my way. I suppose I didn't look quite solid enough for his liking. I made my way back to the house, but when I got to the road I could not at first recognize the spiritualist's house, and I walked along looking at the house names on the wooden gates. I was surprised to see on some of the gates, and beneath the present name, the faint outlines of names that previous occupiers had used. These outlines were not superficial paint impressions, but deeply embedded in the wood, and I was impressed that it was one more faculty of the spirit body, that is the ability to see the result of the thoughts impressed upon the wood by the previous painters. However, I still could not recognize the house and a little girl pointed it out to me. This little girl must be my right-hand man, as she often appears when I am stuck, and then, just as mysteriously disappears. When I entered the house I became unconscious, but was not taken back to the body at once. I believe that this was done by my helpers to cast off my earthly reserve and to enable me to converse freely with the people in the house, including my elderly friend. Next headline, Granger Street. Regarding the etheric counterpart of places which are, or once were, on Earth, I had a strange experience connected with this in one of my early projections. I had been left in a street which I sensed was in London, and I was impressed that I would meet my wife and that she would be in the house facing the end of the street in which I was walking. I then became very conscious and happy and the scene was crystal clear. The houses appeared to be in a style built about 1850 and at the end of the street I saw the nameplate stating that it was Granger Street. As I reached the house, the door was opened by my wife. It was a very happy meeting. We had been talking for a while in the hall, when my wife suddenly looked concerned and said, "Your time is up." Wishing to prolong our meeting a little, I grasped her hand and said, "Don't go yet," but as usual the unalterable rule intervened and I was taken back to the bed. A few days later I attended a circle and a lady opposite me was controlled by a spirit. A lady, who leaned forward and spoke to me in a typical Cockney tone. She said, "I was there when you met your lady a few days ago, and don't you want her solid like?" After the circle, I asked the medium about this spirit, and she said, "She often speaks through me. She lived near the old Kent Road in London. She got intoxicated at a wedding and was killed by a fire engine when crossing the road. When I reached home, I looked up my London street directory. There was a Granger Street near Old Kent Road. I was rather excited over this, as I was sure I could recognize Granger Street and the front of the house where I met my wife. I also noticed the style of the lettering on the nameplate of the street, so the following Sunday I rode over to the place. There was no Granger Street but only a large area with great stacks of new bricks and building material. I asked a lady in a confectioner's shop nearby, where Granger Street was. She pointed to the building site and said, "It used to be there, but it was demolished some time ago to make way for the new blocks of flats which are going to be built." I did not like to tell her that it still exists, and that it will do so until it reaches the end of its etheric usefulness. Next headline, Motoring in Spirit. This double life I was leading had a funny effect one day on Earth. I was wheeling out my motorcycle for a ride and, undecided where to go, I quite casually thought I would have a look at my pool and then thought of working out the best traffic-free road as it was Sunday, until the realization came to me that my pool was not in this world. This, of course, as any mental expert will diagnose, is a rather severe case of split mind, which happens to be true, the physical and the spiritual. I have seen countless numbers of single minds in the lower states who have been there for a long time. These minds are fixed on earth conditions until at long last an inward questioning will gradually alter their weary round and they are open to the help that was previously ignored. I have often ridden a motorcycle in spirit and it may interest some to know that they never break down over there. In spirit what is expected to go, goes, like the spirit aeroplanes I have mentioned. I have also had plenty of jokes played on me by my spirit friends. A favorite joke was to leave a broken down old croc in place of my own new model. Once, when I had left it, I found on my return that they had attached it to an ugly yellow sidecar as long as a motor coach. I thought this was very funny, as at the time I had a nippy machine on earth that was capable of 90 miles per hour and the last thing I'd want to do would be to slow it down with a sidecar. However, they used this joke as a prediction. For before the year was out I did get a sidecar. How minds do change. My Austin 7, 1928 model, is still carefully preserved in spirit and is garaged with several other cars. I have driven it only once in the conscious state and my wife was with me at the time. I once had a six-cylinder coupe with very unlucky faults, and if my spirit friends drag that out I shall consider the whole experience a nightmare. Although driving a motorcycle or car in spirit is a thought process, I have to go through the necessary actions as on earth, and I would not think of doing anything else with such a solid object. The airman I previously mentioned, simply flew because he had a plane and the controls which gave him the necessary expectancy or faith. If he had been told to levitate bodily he would have laughed at the idea. All this is bypassed by the advanced ones in spirit. I was once taken for a car ride through a town on the other side by a spirit expert whose mind could work at electrical speed. It was one more spirit lesson for me but I did not like it at all. The ride was like a ridiculously speeded up film. We missed objects and turned corners like a snaking bullet and I felt wretched and giddy. The effect of this higher and faster wavelength of thought on my slower spirit body was more than a thrill and I was glad when the experiment was over. This advanced teacher seemed to encompass car, passenger and everything in his aura of thought and, despite the encumbrances, was of lightning speed. I believe the novelty of this experiment lay in this teacher's ability to bring the much quicker thought and the power, to demonstrate in a slower astral town. Next headline, shopping in spirit. In these medium or normal spheres there is a feeling of freedom as time does not count and all the pleasant things and interests of earth life can continue, such as visiting one another's homes, sightseeing, and even making a round of the shops and no money is needed. There are all kinds of shops, such as furnishing, clothing, hardware and large departmental stores. Some of the goods were quite novel as the designers or makers were able to carry out their pet ideas with a minimum of effort, and no complicated costing. Once my wife and I had a good rummage round a clothing shop near to my shop in spirit. We opened drawers and cupboards containing clothes of all kinds. One drawer I opened contained children's coats, all in one design and material but in different sizes. I saw some coats hanging up and one was a motorcyclist's short waterproof coat. This interested me and I examined it further and noticed that there was a zip fastener running round the bottom edge of the coat. When I opened this another portion of material unfolded from inside, making it into a full-length coat for any weather. This of course would not be needed in spirit, but it was somebody's idea, and I have never seen it used on earth. On one occasion when out of the body, I was with my deceased daughter and we entered a large departmental store. As we were going through the wide entrance we were joined by another girl who was in school clothes, and I sensed that she was a school friend of my daughter and that she had passed over as a schoolgirl. This store had many fine things and I was particularly interested in some books with large pages and colored reproductions of flowers that looked perfect. On one counter I closely examined an alabaster casket about 14 inches long and inlaid with gold. It looked like something out of Aladdin's cave, and would have made a much cherished collector's piece on earth. Later through a medium friend, my daughter mentioned this meeting with the schoolgirl in spirit, and said, "We do not keep together, as our interests are not the same." I was once in a hardware shop, when a showman's vehicle stopped outside. It was not the usual lorry and caravan trailer, but a huge self-contained thing as big as a house. It was brightly painted in the showman's way and the forepart had the driving seat and living quarters from which music was coming as if from a gramophone. The rear part contained fairground equipment of some sort. A man and a boy got down and entered the shop. The youngster had long black hair reaching to his shoulders and looked like an Indian boy. Both were gaily dressed in their showman's clothes, but I could not decide what they were supposed to represent, but it looked like a mixture of Harlequin and Wild West. The showman said to the shopkeeper, "Did you manage to get those tiles for me?" The shopkeeper nodded and pointed to the corner of the shop. I saw a pile of colored tiles which the man and the boy carried to their vehicle. Next headline, some humor. As I am completely in the hands of my spirit helpers and teachers, I have many times been controlled for specific purposes. This means, I am forced to act some part, sometimes consciously and sometimes unconsciously. On one occasion I was taken to a large hall full of people and was told that I would be addressing the meeting. I was a bit concerned over this as I had never done public speaking. As I mounted the platform I became unconscious and the next thing I knew was that I was leaving the platform, the address was over and the people were discussing it. I felt very relieved. There is plenty of humor among those in the happier spheres and I experienced a sample of it in one of those controls. I had been listening to an orchestra on the radio many years ago. Some pleasing pieces were played but I thought they were spoiled by too much use of the drum. A few nights later in a projection I was taken to an orchestra in spirit. The members were smiling young men like the teachers I often met and I sensed some sort of plot in the air. Then I was controlled and taken to the drums. When the band commenced playing, I was compelled to be the drummer and played with great gusto and, although laughing helplessly at the situation, I used the instrument correctly. When the short piece was over, amid the general laughter I announced to all concerned, "And I still don't like the drums." Another time, when I became conscious in the spirit world, I saw a line of boys and we were singing the words of the last line of a hymn. It was very strange because, although I knew each word as it came, I never knew the hymn on earth. Perhaps it was the effect of telepathy from those around me. We were standing in front of an imposing-looking boys' college. The boys all looked about 12 years of age and when they were dismissed, they all scampered off and went inside through the main doorway. Wondering what the rush was for, I went inside and found them in a room used as a tuck shop where they were enjoying what appeared to be ginger beer or lemonade, and out of the bottle. I have never had the desire to eat or drink in the ordinary mealtime manner when out of the body, and at one time I was congratulating myself on leaving this earthly habit behind. On my next projection, before being taken back to the body, I was suddenly taken to a scene of my boyhood days, but this time there was a stall selling confectionery, including what used to be my favorite sweet, a pile of pink and white coconut ice. I was just going to have some, when I was suddenly brought back to the body, and so ended another lesson. This laughable little incident was a revelation to me, showing the advanced minds and powers our guides possess. A certain vibration in my life's history was chosen, I was taken back in time there, infused with the same childish desire for sweets, just to gently chide me. Next headline, death vibrations. A year or two ago I had several experiences in spirit which were connected with people who had passed over but had not become conscious in spirit. It is strange how people differ in the time taken to become aware of their new life. Some, I know, become aware almost at once, while others will remain inert for quite a long time. Once when out of the body, I found that I was sitting on a bench beside my wife. As I was talking to her, I began to sense an earthly vibratory thought of death. This is very disagreeable in spirit, as it is wrong, not only literally, but in opposing the laws of spirit it causes a negative harshness. It seemed to be close, and looking over my shoulder I saw a man lying on a ledge just behind us. As I was watching him I saw a movement and his eyes opened. So I got up and held his hands and he got onto his feet. I walked him a few paces and then a spirit helper who was waiting nearby, led him away. I felt an inward pleasure and satisfaction over this incident. On another occasion, again with my wife, we were carrying small children who had passed over and were still unconscious. There were several of them and we were placing them in a room. They were in their everyday clothes like the adult sleepers and it seems that the quiescent spirit body automatically adopts with an amazing photo-like memory, the clothing that has mostly been in contact with it. One was a little boy with a sunken head and neck like a hunchback, but I knew he would soon be active and well in his new life. All these children have the same emanations or thought vibration of death, and as I was carrying one little girl into the room, I felt her stir in my arms. I called to my wife, this one moved, so I put her over my shoulder and rubbed her back. She at once became conscious, sat up and said, "Can I have a drink of water?" Again I felt pleased over an awakening which was in such a natural and childlike manner, and handed her to a lady helper who was in the room. I wondered as to which earthly doctor had pronounced this child dead and thought of the parents who would no doubt be heartbroken at the loss of their little one. Those in spirit who do this work have a certain happiness in seeing these children respond to treatment and resume a life under much better conditions than would be possible on earth. Yet, there is a sadness when thinking of some distracted parents who have not the slightest idea of what actually happens, because they cannot be told unless they seek and find for themselves. Those children who pass over young are tended by suitable ones who are fond of them, and the children are often taken to their earthly homes so that they can be near their parents and also their brothers and sisters, if any. In this way they also learn the joys and sorrows of earth life which is necessary in many ways. The spirit laws compensate for all things, even a short earthly existence. In feeling the vibration of death when close to an adult sleeper I thought at first that this was caused by the person's last thoughts on earth being impressed upon the spirit body. However, as the sleeping children carried the same vibration and young children are not likely to dwell on this thought, this does not seem to be the reason. It might be caused by the strong emotional thoughts directed to the sinking one by those in attendance or directly concerned, and the spirit body would be loose and impressionable at this stage. I had some corroboration of these experiences when with my medium friend, who, passing on a message from a spirit helper, said, "You go to people in the rest homes in spirit and have the privilege of seeing them wake up through the effect of rays. They are restless, stir a bit, and then become conscious." This was a good description as to what happened, although I was not aware of any rays. I was also told that I work with my wife which, it was said, had a positive and also a negative effect. I do not understand this but there seems to be some electrical implication. Boredom in heaven. In presenting a picture of the spheres which I called normal, I must also add that there are subdivisions. These are mainly mental and although there is a mingling of people, the different interests still remain for a time, but one cannot say for how long. Life in this lower summerland does not in any way resemble the vague heaven as pictured by orthodoxy, and although pleasant, does not at once have any deep significance to many. For instance, those who, when on earth would not think of studying or attending a lecture on spiritual truths, do not suddenly become enthusiastic over doing so in spirit, because the idea is not contained in their mentality. Spirit life is thus a great revealer. Always the inner person or prevalent thoughts come to the fore. Sometimes an adopted pose or affection during Earth life becomes so ingrained that it can delay progress for quite a time. I was taken to an astral plane of normal brightness, yet I was surprised by the vibrations there. At first glance it appeared to be a pleasant park, with large gates set in stonework, and rockeries, ornamental ponds and wooden seats here and there. The ponds first interested me, but I was disappointed, as they were quite bare of fish. Then I noticed that there were no plants or shrubs of any kind in this park. There were a few people about. Some were walking and others sitting on the benches. They appeared to be smartly dressed, but each was assuming an attitude which was supposed to represent the very height of dignity and elegance that only an exclusive set should have. Those on the benches were sitting stiffly and formally, with set faces, as if fearful of being caught relaxing by a society photographer. The women wore hats which were mostly an exaggeration of the fashion of their period, but all had a look of frozen nonchalance ingrained by their habit of thought on Earth. Presently I saw a man enter through the gates and, as I was curious to see who he was, and he was some distance away, the telescopic vision of my spirit sight was automatic. I could see at once that he was an advanced teacher, and he began to address the people in the park. His voice was clear and ringing, but he had hardly started to tell them of other places much better than this, than two of the men gently escorted him out through the gates. Immediately he re-entered the park and again started to speak, and again he was taken out. They were very gentle with him, as if they were saying, "Really, old chap, park oratory is hardly the thing for our class of people, do be a good fellow and step out. This is a strange state." These people were quite all right in their dealings with their fellow men and they were causing no harm, hence the normal brightness of their locality, but it was shown how difficult it is to penetrate the hard shell of their unnatural affectations. The spirit law is perfect and simple. It demands a simple sincerity. I have been several times to a state where not enough thought was used in any direction. It was inhabited by those people who, during Earth life, did not trouble to extend their minds beyond the ordinary business of living. They were not interested in anything particular, nor could they be interested. On entry into spirit life they had gravitated to this place where others were the same, so there was no variety of activating thought. It was a complete bar to the many interests that could be theirs for the seeking. There were streets and streets of uninteresting houses and the conditions had a strange effect on my spirit body, causing a feeling of extreme boredom and lassitude. Next headline, hospitals. Due, I suppose, to the link with my wife, I was often taken to a hospital where she was helping. It is in fact an institution for the newly arrived. On one occasion I made a formal call at the office of those in charge. I saw a young lady there and, thinking she would understand, I simply told her that I was out of the body and had come to see my wife. Apparently she was new and did not understand but looked intently at something above my head. I realized she was unused to such a caller and was looking at my astral cord. Not wishing to waste time, I carefully told her that it was nighttime on Earth, my physical body was sleeping and I had come in my spirit body, and so on. Still looking vague, she said, "Wait a moment," and went to an inner office. Soon a gentleman came out smiling. I could see that he was spiritually advanced and appeared to understand everything in an instant. He said, "It is all right, just wait in the corridor." I went outside and waited, in a matter of seconds, so it seemed, my wife came along the corridor. I was shown over this hospital, which was for young women who had passed early in life. In the dining hall a meal was in progress. The massed thought gave me a strange feeling of hunger at first and as I passed between the tables I contacted their auras. Many contained the shock of accident, fear, illness and worry. With some there still lingered the smell of ether from the earthly hospitals. A few had slight red patches on arms, necks and faces, which I sensed were the marks of earthly accidents and still held by their mental recollections. None looked ill, and there was a general air of cheerfulness in the hall with feelings of vitality and well-being. This, I knew, was being continuously infused in some way by the advanced people in charge and was the treatment necessary in these particular cases. When I left the hospital, the staff stood at the entrance to their office and watched me pass.